You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, coming to you every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30. Brothers and sisters, this glorious month of February, the month of love, I thought I would begin this month, if you're interested, in a little mini Bible study. And it's going to be on the Gospel according to John. So if you've never entered or opened up the Bible, here is an opportunity to join me studying the book of John, and we're just going to go through it, not in terribly exceedingly detailed, but we're going to give you a nice general sort of, let's say, introduction with a mild in-depth study of the Bible. So I just thought it'd be really nice if you have never read the Bible. We always recommend to start off with the book of John, and it's a beautiful beginning to helping you understand God's word, and that is usually the best place to start. So let's do a Hail Mary, shall we, together? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you do have a Bible, could you turn it to the Gospel according to John? And in the beginning it says, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. So this is what John says. So in the gospel, it is reminding us of our repentance, right? Repentance. And so here, John the Baptist presents Israel their Messiah. In other words, behold the Lamb of God. So here we go. So brothers and sisters, you know, people will talk about Jesus, but they hear about him, let's say, at Christmas time. Maybe you're a new listener to Radio Maria and you just caught on to this broadcast, and you want to know a little more, but you haven't got a good idea. Who is this Jesus, right? So maybe you've seen him on stained glass as well, maybe in pictures or in paintings, and history books leave no doubt that he actually lived and breathed and left a permanent imprint on the world's timeline. But who is he, really? So we're going to include the story of Jesus as recorded by one of the men who lived and walked with Jesus over 2,000 years ago. So John grew up as a fisherman in a small town, but ended up being one of Jesus' closest followers, called disciples. He stayed with Jesus through thick and thin, right to the end, and experienced firsthand the incredible things that Jesus said and did in the short time he lived. Sometime later, John decided to write down some of the amazing things he witnessed. His goal was to inspire faith, to demonstrate conclusively as that Jesus is the Son of God. He wanted his readers to know that anyone who would believe in Jesus would have eternal life. Those are big goals and big concepts, you know, to wrap your head around. But as we go through the accounts of Jesus' life, I'm sure the stories will touch you. The historical Jesus that we're going to encounter is different than any other character ever written about. He interacted with people in unique ways, and he made profound statements about himself, statements that force each of us to make a decision as to who Jesus Christ really is. So if you've never understood or heard the story of Jesus before, well, here's an opportunity to help yourself, and you want to talk about a transformation, as we will be knocking on the door of Lent in the next month of March. So today is a beautiful beginning of February. Let's begin with the book of John. John is just one book of the New Testament, and it's a collection of inspired writings that were written for the early Christian church, right? So just that background. So we get into chapter 1. And as I read some of the first 5 verses, I only read to you the first 3, but I'll read it again, the first 5, and you can follow along with me. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So when we talk about light and dark, brothers and sisters, we're talking about the light being Jesus. He is our light. He is our hope. He is the key to salvation, to eternal life. And the darkness is the pagan world, the evilness that we see, right? Now, maybe my first 5 verses differ from yours, and most Bibles might have these and thous, and it might have a more of a different interpretation, like a different wording. Don't worry about that. That really isn't, it's not important. But if you understand the gist of it, you know, to understand what we're trying to get through to you in terms of what it actually means, then you'll be fine. So don't panic if the words don't quite match up to what I've read. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they even rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' And from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." The testimony of John the Baptist. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and he said, "I am not the Messiah." Well, then they asked him again, "Well, then who are you?" They asked, "Are you Elijah?" "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" "No." "Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" And John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness," might say crying in the wilderness to yours, "clear the way for the Lord's coming." Then the Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?" John told them, "I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize, though his ministry follows mine. I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandal." This encounter took place in Bethany. It's an area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. Jesus, the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He is the one I was talking about when I said, "A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." You might see pictures like that with a dove coming down, and that is the picture that, and that is what you see in scripture here. The following day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth!" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. And as they approached Jesus, Jesus said to them, "Now, here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael said. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Then he said, I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, kind of sums up chapter one. And if you take your time and read it a couple of times, at least two or three times, and meditate on that. And now we are going to approach chapter two, a very short one, into the wedding at Cana. And then we're going to go into chapter three, where Nicodemus visits Jesus. And of course, one of the Bible verses is the most wonderful Bible verse I would ever suggest to you to memorize and keep in your heart and say out loud is John chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm sure you've heard it, but it's good to remember it and memorize and say it out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Memorize it, brothers and sisters. It is an important verse to remind ourselves. All right. So, the wedding at Cana. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. And the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. And he says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time is not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons, and Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, of course, the servants knew. He called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the very first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. And in the temple, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, doves for sacrifices. He saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from the ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over their tables. And then, going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. And then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. All right, Jesus replied. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said, this temple, he meant his own body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem, brothers and sisters, at the Passover celebration. Many began to trust in him, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. No one needed to tell him what mankind is really like. So, are you getting a little bit of an understanding, brothers and sisters? I do hope so. So now we move, and as time goes on, we'll just go as long as time allows us in the Bible. And we're going into chapter 3 here, and I'm just giving you like a little synopsis of each of them, but it's a nice introduction, right? So important, right? So important. Chapter 3, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back to his mother's womb and be born again? But we, brothers and sisters, believe in the baptism," right? So don't, those of us who are Catholic, we must remember this. So if you turn to your Bible and you turn to, again, chapter 3, verse, I would say it's verse 5. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows with everyone who is born in the spirit." So my friends, very different than the contemporary Christian, not Catholic, who believe that although you've been baptized in the Spirit with water, and you know, when the priest baptizes you, or as a young adult, or as a child, an infant, you are born. You are born with the Spirit. If you want to say born again. But that's how we believe in it. So that's our difference, right? So, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." Then Jesus and his disciples, they left Jerusalem and they went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time there baptizing people. And at this time, John the Baptist was baptizing near Salim, because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. And this was before John was thrown into prison. And a debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. And everybody is going to him instead of coming to us." And John replied, No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And that's something we all learn, brothers and sisters. The more we focus on our own problems, our own issues, and we're not denying our problems, but the more we dwell on ourselves, then we're further apart from God. We're further apart from our Lord Jesus. The more we bring our problems and hand them over to our Lord, and try your as humanly possible to let go of them and let God take care of your problems, the more our focus becomes on him and his glory. And that is such a huge thing for all of us, because we are so much, we want to be controlling people. We want to have control of our lives. I mean, we need order in our lives, definitely. And so we try to book appointments, and we have different things and obligations that we do, that we go to. But in the end, brothers and sisters, if it is God's will for you to go to that appointment or to go and attend whatever, then it'll happen according to God's will. And that's what we have to understand. It's got to be more of him and less of us. And it's a huge, when you reach the summit of a mountain, the top, the summit, then you have understood your purpose in this life, that it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about God. It's all about him. And when we do that, you will notice not only the peace that will overcome you through the Holy Spirit, but the contentment. And yes, those problems haven't gone away, but for some strange reason, you feel differently. You feel more able to cope and able to put things in perspective and to say to yourself, God is in control of my life. God gives me and God takes away. It does say that, doesn't it? God giveth and taketh away, just like he did to Job. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters. And Job knew that. And he knew that it was more of God, more of him, than of himself, Job. And that's why it's such a tremendous story. And if you ever need to know that story and you don't know it, go to through scripture, find the book of Job and read it carefully and slowly and take your time, not like a novel. It's not a storybook, but take your time and understand that it is more of our God and less of us, that we are here serving him as best as we possibly can. And that is our whole reason. Well, brothers and sisters, my time has come to say goodbye to you for this journey, but we will continue on to chapter 3. We're going to finish up chapter 3 here and then go right into chapter 4 on the book of John. I do suggest you read a little bit. I think it'll help you a great deal. And underline your book. Don't be afraid to underline your Bible and take a marker or whatever you wish, and highlight areas that mean something to you, scripture, that the words that mean something to you from God. These are God's holy words. These are his words. The Bible is alive. The Bible is a current Bible of living. So God bless you, and thank you for being with me. Bye for now. I've got no